Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland evening service for this first Sunday in the month of October. We continue to do two services during this time, one in the morning, 11 a.m., and another one at 6:30, in order to meet the needs of those who may not be able to attend one or the other service. We regret to announce the death of Ella Scott, who died last week. Ella was in her 90s, so we want to thank God for long life and a life well lived, and we would continue to remember her and her family in our prayers. The burial will take place on Tuesday at Vicar's Ford. As we've come together tonight to worship God, let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Our call to worship is from Psalm 119, the verses 1 to 16. Happy are those whose lives are faultless, who live according to the law of the Lord. Happy are those who follow his commands, who obey him with all their heart. They never do wrong. They walk in the Lord's ways. Lord, you have given us your laws and told us to obey them faithfully. How I hope that I shall be faithful in keeping your instructions. If I pay attention to all your commands, then I will not be put to shame. As I learn your righteous judgments, I will praise you with a pure heart. I will obey your laws. Never abandon me. How can young people keep their lives pure? By obeying your commands. With all my heart, I try to serve you. Keep me from disobeying your commandments. I keep your law in my heart so that I will not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your ways. I will repeat aloud all the laws you've given me. I delight in following your commands more than in having great wealth. I study your instructions. I examine your teachings. I take pleasure in your laws, your commands. I will not forget. Let us worship God and our first hymn, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise.
Thank you. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, your grace holds the moment we are in now. May it last a moment, but be filled with eternity. May the living we do and the dreams that we have, may the words that we use and the intent of our acts hold such grace. May the breaking of our hearts and the longing for justice, may the risk of our faith and the journey of love hold such grace. May the travelling yet to be done, and the word yet to be born, and the child yet to be named, and the place yet to be found, hold such grace. Merciful God, there are myriad reasons why we worship here tonight, why we gather as we do in this moment to pray. Fellowship attracts us, habit forms us, spiritual hunger drives us, and the loving kindness of your grace compels us. You, Lord, are the focus of our attention, the reason for our praise, the goal toward whom we offer all our praise. For your unconditional love is beyond compare, your grace is eternal. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. Forgive us, Lord, in your abundance of mercy, not in our meagre offerings of benevolence. And as we worship tonight, teach us how to pardon, for our sakes, as well as those we may absolve of any wrongs that have been committed against us. In our hymns of praise, our utterances of prayer, our listening to your word, make us new once more. Cleanse us, restore us, remake us in your image, we ask. And let us come together to say that prayer taught by your Son, Jesus Christ, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn this evening, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
You are Our Old Testament reading tonight comes from the book of Amos in chapter 5, reading verses 4 to 6, then 21 to 24. Amos 5, starting at verse 4. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire. It will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. Moving to verse 21. I hate, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. A New Testament reading is taken from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. Romans 14, 1 to 11. The weak and the strong. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone. And none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. We will now sing the hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Don't judge others wrongly. Accept people as they are. Don't judge others wrongly and accept people as they are. Jessica Nicholas, in one of her books called A User-Friendly Guide to Biblical Justice and Righteousness, argues that God's personal passionate concern for justice and righteousness was the starting place for his people to build them into every part of their culture. The place we should all live from is justice and righteousness. Everything we do, from the way we raise our families to the way we run our businesses, to our own relationships with the vulnerable, should reflect justice and righteousness. And being just and righteous also means being fair and considerate in the ways we regard each other or even judge one another, both in essential and non-essential matters of life and faith. But you would agree with me that our judgment of others is often inequitable or prejudiced, partly because we do not take time to investigate why people do what they are doing, or whether they are really doing what we think they are doing. A traveler between flights at an airport bought a small package of cookies. Then she sat down and began reading a newspaper. Gradually, she became aware of a rustling noise. From behind her paper, she was flabbergasted to see a neatly dressed man helping himself to her cookies. Not wanting to make a scene, she leaned over and took a cookie herself. A minute or two passed, and then came more rustling. He was helping himself to another cookie. By this time, they had come to the end of the package, but she was so angry, she didn't dare allow herself to say anything. Then, as if to add insult to injury, the man broke the remaining cookie in two, pushed half across to her, ate the other half, and then left. Still fuming, sometime later, when her flight was announced, the woman opened her handbag to get her ticket. To her shock and embarrassment, there she found her pack of unopened cookies. She had been eating the man's cookies, but thought it was the other way around, and so judged the man wrongly for eating her food without her permission. This story does not really capture the problem we are dealing with in Romans chapter 14. But it illustrates a general principle about the way we judge people and how our judgment of others can be imperfect or even misleading. The problem in Romans 14 was between weak and strong Christians and about what people were eating or not eating, or what days of the week were holy and which ones were not. Sounds very absurd. But perhaps Romans 14 can best be summed up by the saying, don't judge your brother or sister on non-essential matters, because God will judge them. Judge yourself, because God will judge you. In Romans 14, after mentioning the issue of eating or not eating, Paul brings up a second matter at verse 5, where believers in Rome were wrongly judging one another concerning the observance of certain days as holy. Then mentioning both issues, Paul deals with the motives behind those who do or do not do these known essential things. He assumes that they are doing or not doing them for the Lord. Whoever considers one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks. Then the apostle goes on to explain that all believers are under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As Lord of all, he also will be judge of all, to whom each of us will give an account. Therefore, we are wrong to judge our brothers and sisters. Leave them alone. Who are we to judge them? Let them be. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. Now I can imagine what is going on in our minds and what some of us might be thinking at this point. Probably we are saying that here is a ticket or a scriptural justification to liberalism or liberal theology, that contemporary movement that seeks to interpret and reform Christian teaching by taking into consideration modern knowledge, science, and ethics. And liberal theology also emphasizes the authority of individual reason and experience. And often, liberal Christians and theologians would be quite happy to stay with that superficial rendering of Romans 14. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted people the way they are. In other words, let everyone do what they want to do and live the way they want to live. Let them enjoy themselves the way they deem fit. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, I wonder whether you know Christian people who deliberately do things that are sinful or unhelpful, and then defend their actions with the words of Scripture and tell you to leave them alone. They argue the Bible says, don't judge, because judgment belongs to God. But is it really true that we should not judge people at all? Well, I think Paul is not condemning all judgment in this passage. He's dealing with the subject of judging others on known essential matters where the Bible gives no commands. And I say so because on all essential matters, Paul himself judged the actions of people who were in error. And one of the evidences is in 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul corrected the Corinthians because they did not condemn a man who was living in sin. I'm told that a man is sleeping with his stepmother, says Paul. How then can you be proud? On the contrary, you should be filled with sadness, and a man who has done such a thing should be expelled from your fellowship. That was judgment that Paul was passing on someone. And it was judgment on one who had clearly done something terrible in the eyes of God and even in the sight of people. And again, Paul the Apostle was not tolerant of the damnable doctrinal error of the Judaizers in Galatia. In Galatians 1:6-9, Paul says, "I am surprised at you. In no time at all, you are deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are accepting another gospel. Actually, there is no other gospel. But I say this because there are some people who are upsetting you and trying to change the gospel of Christ." Would you say then, friends, that Paul is contradicting himself in making all those judgments on people's behaviors after telling us in Romans 14 that we should accept people the way they are and not judge them, especially those whose faith is weak? No, Paul is not contradicting himself at all, but making a distinction between the essential and non-essential things of faith. And we need to call people to repentance when need be and help them to come back to the way of Christ if they go astray. However, and I need to mention, there are many other secondary areas where we must be gracious and tolerant with those who differ with us, especially those non-essential matters where the Bible gives no specific commands. Paul never, for example, would have said we should not judge others if he had been talking about the clear moral demands or commands or essential doctrines of Scripture. For example, can you imagine Paul saying, one person thinks that sexual immorality is a sin, whereas others don't have a problem with that. Each person must be fully convinced in his or her mind. Or do you think Paul would have said that no person or no one person thinks a man can transgender into a woman tomorrow and then change back to a man the next day and that is fine, we don't need to judge them? Hardly. Because by playing with God's creation like that, we would be going against an essential moral law, because what God has created, no culture should negotiate. Dear friends, what I learned from this text is that on moral issues where the Bible gives clear commands or on essential doctrinal truth, we would be wrong not to judge others, but also to spend our time judging others on known essential matters instead of concentrating on issues of justice and righteousness, we would be escaping from responsibility and shying away from issues of righteousness and justice. We cannot ignore actions that damage society and our homes and communities and spiritual lives and claim to be faithful Christians simply because we pay our donations to church and we attend church regularly. That would mean concentrating on issues that are not as essential to our faith and our progress spiritually, while ignoring the more serious things that can build communities and our homes and bring us to our eternal destiny in heaven. You know what the prophet Amos said to the unfaithful, unrighteous, and corrupt people in his day? "I hate your religious festivals. I cannot stand them. When you bring me burnt offerings, I will not accept them. I will not accept the animals you have fattened to bring to me as offerings. Stop your noisy songs. I do not want to listen to your harps. Instead, let justice flow like a stream and righteousness like a river that never goes dry. In his book, Authentic Christianity, John Stott helpfully admonishes us that we need to repent of the haughty way in which we sometimes stand in judgment upon Scripture and must learn to sit humbly under its judgment instead. If we come to Scripture with our minds made up, expecting to hear from it only an echo of our own thoughts and never the thunderclap of God's, then indeed he will not speak to us, and we shall only be confirmed in our own prejudices. We must allow the word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. And hear again those words from Prophet Amos. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word to us this night. We thank you for teaching us about judgment, about justice and righteousness, and about the ways through which we can approach one another, even to correct ourselves about the things that do not grow us spiritually. Help us, O merciful Father, to humble ourselves before you and to accept the teaching which you bring us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Beauty for Brokenness.
Thank you.
In our prayers, let us dedicate ourselves and our offerings to God, however made. And in our prayer of intercession, God invites us to hold the needs of our sisters and brothers as dear to us as our own needs. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, take what we have to offer, little as it often is. Take, accept, use, bless this offering we present, that mercy might reign in us and through us and for us and from us, for the benefit of and sake of your kingdom. Amen. Lord God, friend of those in need, your Son Jesus has untied our burdens and healed our spirits. We lift up the prayers of our hearts for those still burdened, those seeking healing, those in need within the church and the world. We pray for many things this evening, for a deeper relationship with God, that we may not be satisfied with simply using religious words and gestures, but rather make the gospel the source of all our words and deeds. For all who have suffered rejection, that God will heal their wounds, fill them with hope, and guide them into the acceptance of a community of faith. For all with mental illness, particularly those with depression, that God's healing love will free them and open new possibilities for them. For all who are struggling financially, that God will calm their fears and guide them to new opportunities to support themselves and to use their gifts. For healing of injustice, that God will help us recognise systemic injustices and give courage to all who are working to change society. For all who have died, that they may eternally experience the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding. For the families and loved ones of the bereaved, that you may comfort them and keep them close to you, especially at this difficult time for them. For all who are ill, particularly those with COVID-19, that God will ease their pain, help them to receive life-enhancing treatment, restore them to their loved ones. For the church, that we may more and more put on the attitude of Christ and empty ourselves so that God can raise us to a new life of faithful relationships and loving service. For the Church of Scotland, that the discussions held and decisions made during the General Assembly this weekend are meaningfully considered and carried forward by the whole Church for your glory. Hear our prayers, that we may love you with our whole being and willingly share the concerns of our neighbours. Amen.
We now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our final hymn. in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord grant to us a quiet night and a perfect end.
Amen.